Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Oh boy, have you ever been around a person who is very gracious in the way they spoke? Gracious in the way they related to people? I can give you a classic example of that. It was Pastor Chuck Smith. You know, why am I a part of Calvary Chapel, the Calvary Chapel movement? Well, back in the early 90s, a couple of guys who were on staff at Calvary Tucson said, oh, you ought to listen to Pastor Chuck Smith on the radio. And I was like, oh, Chuck Smith, I'm from Southern California, and I kind of know about Calvary Chapel, and, you know, I went to the churches and listened to the teachers where we study in the Greek, and that's okay for baby Christians, but, you know, you ought to listen to Chuck. You ought to listen to Chuck. So I started listening to Chuck. Now, this really dates me. You know, I mean, I had to dodge dinosaurs back at this time, but I remember I had one of those Sony Walkman. Remember the Sony Walkman? And it had AM and FM radio on, believe me. And I could listen to the AM radio station here in Tucson. And when I would walk to work in the morning, I started listening to the Word for Today with Pastor Chuck. And I'd start listening to this guy. And, you know, and rarely would Chuck, you know, he'd go in verse by verse. Well, that's all well and good. And rarely, you know, would he really say anything that I in my highfalutin Greek syntax hadn't studied before. But as I listened to him, there was something that would get through to me. It was like listening to your beloved grandpa sharing God's word with you. You know, you just felt like you're a little kid crawled up in his lap and, oh, you know, you know, and he just talk about how glorious it was to follow the Lord and all. And, you know, and it just, there was something contagious about it. And you know, some, like I say, sometimes, you know, the things you said, when it say were so deep or profound, you know, where I was going, ooh, that's a great intellectual discovery. But he would say things that I had heard before, but he would speak them with such grace, infused in the words. I just remember one morning, I just said, Lord, whatever it takes, I want to have a relationship with you like this guy does. See, that's grace. That's speaking grace to people. And I guarantee you, you know, the reason that we're still talking about Chuck Smith today, you know, is not because, you know, he was the most stunning orator the world has ever seen. You know, he was the most handsome guy you've ever seen. He was the most astute businessman you've ever seen. Don't get me wrong, he was great at all those things. But I think the main reason that people still talk about Pastor Chuck in this day is that quality. That ability to let the grace of God flow through his words. Now, let me ask you a convicting question. When people listen to you, who do they hear? What do they hear? Do they hear words of grace? Do they sense in you a person who's been with Jesus? And Jesus is rubbing off on you so much, you just, yeah, wow, you know? That's amazing. I can't believe someone like you would be saying something like that. And you can smile and say, well, probably because it wasn't me who said it. It's the Lord working through me. And you know, when we realize that our communication with people is an investment. It's an investment in necessary edification that can communicate grace to those who hear. If at the end of the day I look at the track record of my communication with others and ask myself the question, have I built bridges or have I been a barrier to this person's growth? Do the people who interact with me, do they see the words that I say as a stumbling step or a stepping stone? You know, what am I doing with my words? Are they intentional? Are they infilled with the power of God's Spirit? Are they scriptural? They pass scriptural muster. Or when I open my mouth, do I have a case of hellacious halitosis going on? Boy, I would much rather, when it's all said and done, and somebody's talking about my life, when if the Lord tarries and there's a memorial service in my honor, I would love it if someone said about me when it was all said and done, you know, when I talked with him, he always reminded me about Jesus. You know, when I talked with him, he was always talking about Scripture, and not in a preachy way or holier-than-thou way, but in a loving way. The love of God flowed through that guy. You know, Pastor Chuck passed away in 2013, and I'm here to tell you today that legacy of loving speech has changed the lives of so many, myself included. What is your legacy going to be? What are you going to leave behind? Well, once again, you got 24 hours each and every day. You've got all the communication, all the interactions you have with that mouth that God gave you. Are you going to use it intentionally to build up the kingdom of God? And notice, finally, in our time tonight, we can explore more, but this is so powerful. It says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed from the day of redemption." Now, this is pretty profound. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there's a couple things here that we need to explore. First of all, does something really strike you as stunning? The Holy Spirit of God can be grieved by the way we live our lives. You can cause the Holy Spirit to literally weep over the way you choose to live your life. Now, a couple things about this. First, the easy part. Jehovah's Witnesses, cults, will deny the doctrine of the Trinity, that there is one God who exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one of the real targets for this denial of the Trinity is the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And Jehovah's Witnesses will go into all these gyrations about, no, the Holy Spirit's not a person, it's just an influence. It's just a force, like electricity. Well, here we see something that should really put that argument to bed for you once and for all. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can have an emotional response to you. You know, electricity really can't. Really doesn't, right? You know, I've had up close and personal encounters with electricity. You know, when I was a kid, I was involved with ham radio. I still mess around with it occasionally. It's still licensed as a ham. You know, I'm a ham on many levels, I guess we could say. But when this buddy of mine, Tom, that I grew up with, you know, we were messing around with this. And we started out with walkie-talkies, and then we graduated to ham radio. And we were like mad scientists working on these things. And one night in Tom's room, we were working on this rebuilt night kit transmitter, right? And we had rebuilt the thing, and it was like the time to really test what we had done, to see if this whole thing was going to come together. And, you know, we had wires here and there and sticking around. We hooked it up to the antenna, and boy, I hit the code key on this thing. And when I completed the circuit on the code key, I accidentally made contact with my thumb over this live wire that was next to it. And 150 watts went straight through my body at that point. And it blew me out of this chair about 4 feet back onto Tom's bed. Just bam, like that. I've never been shocked like that in my entire life. Like, whoa, you know. I mean, if I could see a picture, I'd probably even look like the professor in Back to the Future with the hair straight up like that. And man, you talk about the adrenaline rushing, oh, like that. Could you imagine how pointless it would be if I walked over to that ham radio and said, "Electricity, I hate your guts." Electricity don't care. I could yell at electricity all night. It wouldn't care. You know, do you realize the pain that you caused me, electricity, by what you've done? No, I'm just electricity. I'm an impersonal force. See, you can't grieve a force, can you? You can't, by the way, also lie to a force. In Acts chapter 5, remember Ananias and Sapphira got in deep because they lied to the Holy Spirit. I can't say to electricity after it blew me over in the bed, oh, don't worry about that. I don't hold anything against you. It doesn't matter. Electricity don't care if I'm telling the truth or lying. Because it's a force. It's not a person. You can't lie to a force. You can't grieve a force. But you can grieve a person. And the Holy Spirit is not only described as a person, He's described over and over and over again in Scripture as God. In fact, in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 26, we are told, even so, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, referring to the Holy Spirit. For we do not know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit Himself prays for us, makes intercession for us, with groanings that cannot be uttered. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is as He intercedes for us according to the Word of God. Now notice something. We've not only got a Holy Spirit who prays. Impersonal forces can't pray. But prays for us with such passion that it can't be measured in words. Impersonal forces don't have emotions. But notice as well, the Holy Spirit has a mind that is in complete harmony with the will of the Father. So if anybody comes to you and says, oh, the Holy Spirit's not God, He's an impersonal force, say, well, I just can't imagine grieving. I can imagine grieving about my electrical bill, but I can't imagine grieving the electricity that caused my electrical bill to be what it is. Now, it's really interesting, and this is a little fine point for those of you who like the Greek here. Specifically, it says here in this passage, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. The words in Greek here, the words en oi, it literally means in whom, not in what. You know, if it was just an impersonal force, it's just another name for sort of the ethereal presence of God, but it's not anyone personal, Paul would have said it. And here we see that the Holy Spirit is personal. Now, that's the easy part. What's the tougher part? Oh, going back to that word. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can look at our lives and actually be grieved. God looks at our lives and can actually feel grief about the way we live our lives. I don't know if that blows your mind, but it blows my mind. And there's so many people, and I think I'm a product of this culture, just imagine that God is just too advanced and too beyond all of us to actually have emotions. He's a great computer in the sky. He's got to keep all, you know, these quantum mechanic rules going on and all the atoms from going on, all the galaxies bumping into. How in the world can God possibly have emotions? Here, God has emotion. And the other thing that blows my mind is this. Some people say, well, you know, God's so great. How could He care about little old me? He cares about little old you so much that He cares so passionately about you that He can actually feel grief about the way you live your life. He can actually feel grief about that. You know, I love what Charles Spurgeon said about this. He said, although the word grieve is a painful one, yet there is honey in the rock, for it's an inexpressibly delightful thought that He who rules heaven and earth and is the creator of all things and the infinite ever-blessed God condescends to enter into such an infinite relationship with His people that His divine mind might be affected by their actions. What a marvel that deity, God, should be said to grieve over the faults of beings so utterly insignificant as we are. And say, oh, God's too great to grieve over me, Scott. Well, I'd ask you this question. You say, oh, I'm just this little tiny speck. I'm just too little for God to really grieve about. Well, can I ask you a question? You suppose there's things in this universe that are big enough for God to grieve about? Yeah, Holocaust. I'm sure He was really grieved about that. Well, sure, there's some big things that God grieves about. But if there's nothing too big for God to grieve about, how do you suppose there's possibly anything too small for God to grieve about, including little old you, little old me? You know, I think that can be a powerful motivator for holy living. You know, when I was growing up, as I've confessed on many occasions, when I've taken those personality inventory tests they give you in business circles where they identify you with a certain kind of animal. Some people are identified as oxen, and some people are identified as lions and tigers and bears, oh my. You know, me, I was a golden retriever. And I come by it honestly. I just remember from the get-go, man, I would rather crawl over broken glass than disappoint my parents. And then have them look at me and shake their head and just go, oh, you know, I can't believe that you're my kid. I mean, that was something that I just didn't want to bring him grief. And there were certain junctures along the way where my equally rough and rowdy friends, hey, let's do this and this and this. And it was in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, man, I can't imagine explaining that with my parents. And, you know, I think if we have that heart towards God, it can keep us out of a peck of trouble. If we remove God from the cold, impersonal, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain image that we often associate him with, and remember just how infinitely and intimately invested in our lives God is, boy, that can really change your life. And if you're a new creature in Christ, you're walking in that new man relationship, it gives you that new perspective on God. That yes, God really loves me. He doesn't just love the world, you know, just kind of this broad, amorphous kind of thing. He doesn't just love humanity. He loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you personally and passionately enough for his heart to break utterly by the way sometimes we live our lives. Yeah, it reminds me of, you know, the old deal on The Wizard of Oz, the climactic moment, you know, when the Tin Woodsman finally gets his heart. You know, how do you know he finally got a heart? He goes, now I know I have a heart because it's breaking. And boy, I'll tell you what, those of you parents out there, I know that when you bring those bundles of joy home, you know, you're looking at them, you can hold them in one hand, and you're going, oh, this is great. You know, this kid, man, you know, the tough work's over, you know, pregnancy's done. I never tell this to new parents. Get ready. Because they're not going to stay little and cute very long like this, and they're going to do things that absolutely break your heart. But consider the alternative. Could you imagine a parent who looked at their kids and, you know, they do something that's really damaging and destructive and is not going to get them where they need to go in life and, you know, just really blows up their life? They just go, well, what else is on TV? What a horrible parent that would be. Because the opposite of love isn't hate, gang, it's indifference. God loves you. He's the perfect heavenly Father. And guess what? He has to deal with all of us crazy kids. But the more we begin to understand this, the more we begin to understand what we mean when we say that oftentimes heard expression in Christian circles, we have a personal relationship with God. What does that mean anyway? A personal relationship with God. It's not just that I love God. It's that he loves me. He loved me first. He's going to love me to the end. And he knew the mess I was when he called me into his kingdom. And there's nothing I can do that is going to cause him to say, oh, bad idea. I think we'll start over. He's going to finish the job because he's a loving, perfect Heavenly Father. And if I invest today, if I look at this day and I go, this is the day that the Lord has made. Not that I've made, but that the Lord has made. My job is to rejoice and be glad in it. How can I rejoice and be glad in it? By realizing, A, I'm not in it alone. B, I'm not an accident. C, the God who loves me and created me wants me to use this day in such a way that it's going to matter eternally. And if you realize that, congratulations. You, without even realizing it, you've put off the old man, the old smelly, stinky, fish breath old man, and you've put on the new man, being renewed in the likeness of the one who created you. You're going to wonderfully maybe turn around someday, maybe on your deathbed. And have the people who are closest to you look at you and maybe say to you something you never thought you'd ever hear. I saw Jesus in you. I heard his words of love when you spoke. I saw his patience, even when I didn't deserve it. You can hear those words. And after you pass, maybe even greater words than you could ever imagine. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a little, I'll appoint you over much. And if that doesn't motivate you in the Christian life, I can't help you. You see, you got to have that internal motivation. You've got to have that connection with God. Otherwise, it's just hypocrisy and game playing. Does God have your heart? Do you realize how wholeheartedly he's invested in you? Well, when I invest the things I can, my heart, my words, even the things I possess for the glory of God, well, then a very famous scripture is going to come alive in my life. Romans chapter 12, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. Oh, let's thank the Lord for this relationship he's given with us. Father, thank you that your word is so powerful and so beautiful. Thank you, Lord, that you love us amazingly, intensely, intimately, infinitely. You cannot love us more, and you will not love us less. Father, I do pray for those who are struggling, maybe with putting on the old man, carrying that old man around so that they can make a quick change at a particular moment. I pray that they would realize that that internal motivation of genuine love from you is the only thing that will make lasting change within their life. And that you stand ready through the power of your Spirit not to give them a life that grieves you and brings sorrow to your heart because you see how many squandered opportunities and chances to make a difference forever we enter into in this life. Maybe even how many times our behaviors and actions, no matter how godly we think we are, have stumbled people rather than built them up. Lord, I thank you that it's never too late for change. And so, Lord, we want to put off the old man. We want to cast it off. We don't want to carry it about in our back pocket. We don't want to drag it behind us 5 yards behind with a string for easy reference when we need it. We want to be done with it. And we want to be alive to you. God, teach us what this new life in you is all about. Moment by moment, day by day, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bible teacher and pastor Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Be sure to join us next time as we continue through the Word of God here on Sunrise. In the meantime, we invite you to get in touch with us here at CCF to request your own copy of what we heard on today's broadcast. We also extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and study of God's Word. We're located at 3850 North Commerce Drive. Simply go one block west of I-10 on Prince Road, then two blocks north. Our Sunday morning worship times are 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our Wednesday study gets underway at 6:30 p.m. For more information on our many outreaches, you can call 292-9661, 292-9661. You can also call that number if you want an audio copy of today's broadcast. That's 292-9661. Or visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to make plans to be with us next time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Jesus, sweet Savior, we want to glorify you.
This program has been made possible by Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona.